Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Amen and amen. Great word today from Psalm 100, verse 4. Good Thursday to you, friend. It is so good to enjoy this cup of coffee here with you today. It is the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on this 10th day of June. Now, I do know that this program, Mark and Friends, heard on, what, like 19 different frequencies all across a large area. And I think we all have one thing in common this weekend. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot. Like lower 90s, I think, is pretty much the average. So we're going to get a little glimpse of summer, which, by the way, starts in about 10 days. Think about that. Let that digest here just a little bit. Yeah, summer starts here in about 10 days on Sunday, June 20th, which is Father's Day. And we're going to get a little sample of summer this weekend. But hey, I hope you're having a blessed week. It is an honor to be part of your Thursday. It's a joy to be the soundtrack to your day today. I'm going to be heading over to Chicago this weekend. My sister is getting married on Saturday, so we're going to be going up to Chicago. Thankfully, it's going to be indoors, air conditioning, you know. So, but we're so happy, we're so excited, and so we're going to see family on Saturday, which I have tons of them up north in the Chicagoland area. So that's what we're going to be doing. Our daughter Hannah is her soccer team is actually in the playoffs this weekend as well. So Friday she's gonna have a game, and then we gotta right after that late game we're gonna head up north. But so we're hoping and praying that they move on to the next round for the soccer championship. They've been doing such a great job this year. Well, for Mark and Friends today, we're going to take a look at probably one of the most well-known psalms, Psalm 23. And we're going to be talking about Jesus, our great shepherd. And friend, he is a good, good shepherd. We're going to be talking about that today from Psalm 23, right after this, for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
Trust him at all.
He has made me glad. Merriam-Webster right here for Mark and Friends here on our Thursday. I'll tell you what, you go to any funeral, most any funeral, and most likely you'll hear Psalm 23 being read at the graveside service or at the funeral service. You go to many circles and you'll come to find out that Psalm 23 is probably most likely the most read psalm out of all of those books. And today we're going to be talking about the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So if you have your Bible, if you're able, go ahead and turn to Psalm 23. If you're driving, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll read this out to you. Psalm 23, talking about the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Isn't that beautiful? Well, we see here, friend, three important things from these verses here. We see Lord, the word Lord. You see that word? Most translations have the word Lord, L-O-R-D, in capital letters. And you see, the reason is that that word is translated, Lord is a translation of an Old Testament name for God, Jehovah, or some would say Yahweh. And actually, it's an unpronounceable word, just four consonants that cannot be pronounced. We pronounce it as best as we know how, Jehovah, but it's actually Yahweh, and it is the most sacred name for God that the Jews knew. And so the name was so sacred, in fact, that the Jew copying that name would go and take a bath before he would copy that name, get a brand new pen before he would write that name down. It's a sacred name. When Moses was getting ready to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage, he made several excuses, and he says, "I can't go. They won't believe me. Who shall I say sent me?" And God said to Moses, "Moses, you tell them that I am. That I am sent you. That is, I am the great, eternal, personal God, the ever-existing one who never had a beginning, the one who will never have an end. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. You tell them, Moses, that I am sent you. I am is the one who is sending you. You tell them, Jehovah is my name. Jehovah is my name." That's a The word Lord is a powerful, powerful name, sacred name. It's Jehovah. And so we see the word Lord in here, but we also see the word shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, what in the world, what is the significance behind that? Because now, if he would have said that, hey, so-and-so is a dog, well, we kind of have the idea that it's a derogatory term. But shepherd? What does the Lord have to do with somebody who hangs out with dirty, stinky sheep? Friend, only when we understand the role of a shepherd do we realize what David is saying. Because a shepherd cares for his flock. In fact, one of the main responsibilities of a shepherd is the safety and welfare of the flock. Because sheep are prone to getting lost, getting injured, and being left in a state of vulnerability unless they are cared for by a shepherd. See, if a sheep gets injured, it's the shepherd that serves as a vet right there on the spot. Dr. Shepherd, if you would, bandaging up those wounds, feeding those sheep, tending to the sick sheep. A shepherd cares for his flock. And friend, Almighty God cares for you as well. And 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Cast all your anxieties on him." Why? Because he cares for you. So a shepherd cares for his flock. A shepherd also leads his flock. You know, a shepherd leads his flock. Sheep tend to wander. They really do. They tend to wander. They just kind of, there's no stress. They just wander. A shepherd leads them to an area of water, leads them to new pastures, leads them away from danger, and the shepherd leads his flock. And friend, if you are a child of God, that is, if you put your trust and faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, He leads you and He guides you. He guides us and leads us in our prayer time with Him. He guides us through the reading of His Word. You know what is Psalm 119 says? Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He also guides and leads us through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit inside of us. He leads us. A shepherd leads his flock. He cares for his flock. He also protects his flock. You know, I was reading just the other week that when sheep are in danger, they don't join forces in a pack like other animals do to protect themselves. They just panic. They just panic. They're helpless. They're defenseless. And the shepherd had a rod and a staff, and the rod was a club, is often made of oak wood and had a knob at the end of it. And into this knob, sometimes nails were sometimes driven through it so it can be used as a better weapon. It was used to protect the sheep. Remember David said before he was going to fight Goliath, he told King Saul, hey, I killed the lion and the bear. I mean, he remembered his time as a shepherd. It was his job to protect his flock. And friend, God is the one, hallelujah, who protects us. Protects us spiritually. We have no idea just the protections that He has around us spiritually. Friend, we are kept by the power of God. And a shepherd not only protects his flock, not only leads his flock, and not only cares for his flock, but he also rescues his flock. Because again, sheep wander. I mean, they wander. Have you ever gone to the beach and you go out into the lake or the ocean and you're playing your games or whatever it is that you're doing out there in the water, and then you look back to shore and you realize that your towels and your bags are all the way over there? Somehow you wandered in the ocean, in the lake, and next thing you know, you're much farther away from shore and your towels and bags than you had thought. Sheep tend to wander and they walk aimlessly. And sometimes they would find themselves in danger. They would be stuck in a pit or stuck between rocks and so forth. And the shepherd had a staff, and it was not only used to lead and guide them, but to rescue them, because at the end of that staff was a hook. You've probably seen this. And so when the sheep were stuck between rocks or stuck in a hole or pit or whatever it is, the shepherd would use that hook to swoop them back up. A shepherd rescues his flock. And friend, God rescues us. And Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock. Friend, we see the Lord. We see the term shepherd, but we also see here sheep in Psalm 23. Look at this in verse 1. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He didn't say He's everyone's shepherd. He didn't say He's y'all's shepherd. He didn't say He's your shepherd. No, He personalized it. He says He's my shepherd. He is saying the Lord is my shepherd, and I choose to be in His pasture, His pen. His word, God's word, has a lot to say about us being His sheep. In Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people. Watch this. The sheep of His pasture. Psalm 100. Friend, we are His sheep. Watch this. And Jesus is the shepherd. He said in John 10:11, He says, I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Friend, Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for us. He leads us. He protects us. He rescues us. He's the good shepherd, and we are his sheep because we are helpless. We are vulnerable, and we stray, and we prone to wander, don't we? In closing here, friend, there was a man by the name of Robert Robinson. He was born in England in the 19th century, and he came to Christ, and he was highly gifted and felt God was calling him to the ministry. And as he ministered and as he preached, his star rose and rose. He was gifted in many ways. And one day, Robert Robinson fell into immorality. He fell into sin, and just as quickly as his star rose, it faded, and he left the ministry. And he was riding one day on a stagecoach, sitting by a lady, a stranger he did not know, and she was reading a passage in a book, and she turned to him and said, "Sir, I'm reading some very interesting lines. I'd like to know what you think about them. Perhaps we can discuss them, and perhaps you can share with me your thoughts." And she says, "Come, thy fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise." She said, "Sir, what do you think about those words?" And Robert Robinson, he looked away. He tried to change the subject, said, "Ma'am," and she kept on bringing it back. She says, "Sir, what do you think about those lines?" And he held his head low. He says, "Madam, I am that poor, miserable creature who wrote those lines. Robert Robinson had written that song, and perhaps almost as prophecy, friend, he wrote another part of that song that prophesied his failure and departure. Another line in that song says, 'Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.'" Prone to wander. And friend, maybe you've wandered off in your relationship with him. I just want to let you know the good shepherd is waiting. His pen is still open. There's still room for you in his pasture. Come on home. He's waiting for you.